Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hey, everybody. Hey, Mel.
Hi.
Larry, how are you?
Hello.
He's checking his glands.
I think I have strep throat.
Uh-oh. Well, keep that over there.
I can't tell if I do or not. I had my tonsils removed because I had bad things growing in my throat.
Ain't
but,
enough.
Like, it's Gina's energy.
You shouldn't put gross things in your mouth.
No, it's not from that, I promise.
That's what she said.
No, but they did it. I didn't have genital warts in my throat, which is kind of funny.
You didn't? Because
you can get genital warts in your throat.
Sure.
I had growth, like, underneath my tonsils. But they weren't that, luckily. They were benign. Yay.
But how does that prevent you from being able to tell if your glands are swollen?
Well, because before, whenever I got strep throat, my tonsils, like, swell up. And I'd almost be in a bit. Two times I was. That's why I got them out. But, like, it's harder to tell. I don't know if I just have a cold. I don't know. It's okay when I drink. It's weird. I don't know.
Check for white patchy things.
Hey,
I was just looking at WebMD at pictures. Yeah. Ew, it's so gross.
Yeah, you can die from strep throat.
I know. It's scary. Yeah. According to WebMD, I might also have leprosy.
Well, you just never know. So, you got to rule everything out, I guess.
When you have leprosy, you lose your digits. Like in India at the leprosy clinic I worked at, you lose your toes and you wear shoes that look like Cabbage Patch Kid shoes. I'm serious. That's what shoes you wear because you lose all your digits and they swell up like little stubbies.
Well, that's a pleasant thought.
Who knew that? Leprosy's still around.
Sure it is.
Sure. If you go to places like India, it is.
I was floored when I went there. I was like, whoa.
Hey, today's show is sponsored by the Nate Darling Show. Shop at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show. You can get t-shirts with our show logo on it.
I have two.
As do I. Actually, I have three, actually. You can wear the shirt with pride, make a fashion statement that not a lot of people have made so far, but be the first one on your block to own a t-shirt, support the show, and check out what you can make. And the cool thing is there's two really cool things. One, you can pretty much pick whatever type shirt you want and put our logo design on it.
My odd advice in this area, though, is don't go for the super expensive shirt because it has sort of this weird glossy sheen to it and it doesn't take the pattern as nicely.
Yeah, and the shirts start, I think, at like $14.95. So
yeah, go cheap.
Yeah, you can go cheap. So you can pick out whatever you want and put it on there and support the show, and that's one way to do it. It's at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show. You can hit the link on NateDarlingShow.com.
Do we have fanny packs?
No.
I'm going to research how
it's,
we can get
we have here's what we have right now. You can get pretty much any shirt, be it a T-shirt, sweatshirt, or whatever.
Even girl-shaped ones.
And the girl. That was important, too.
Yeah.
And you can also get the oval shaped stickers with our logo on it.
Ooh.
And we have the full logo, and we also have the one that's just sort of the smiley face part of the logo with the website on it.
Very nice.
So we've got I just took the one with the Santa hat off because nobody bought it, and it's Christmas is over.
Yeah.
So just want to sort of explain something that's a little bit different. We are growing as a show. We're getting more and more listeners. And as we grow, we want to find ways to sort of offset the costs of doing things here. So we're starting to take sponsors for the show.
Yay, you can have your name on our show.
And we've already, Huge Entertainment, which has been a supporter of the show from the beginning.
Which is spelled H-U-G.
We'll get to them later. But they have, that's a pretty big ticket item, and they've already managed to book a gig off of being mentioned on the podcast. So if you'd like to explore being on the podcast, it starts out at a really reasonable rate to sponsor our segments, Cooler Tool and Small Town News. And then there's the whole show sponsor. So if you're interested in that, email me at NateDarlingShow@rocketmail.com and we can talk about that.
I'm going to start sponsoring segments just so you have to keep saying my name throughout
Ooh,
the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
This part of the show is brought to you by Mel Gelbart.
This part of the show is sponsored by Nate Eats Boogers.
Oh, yeah. Can we call it whatever we want?
If you give me money, you can call it whatever
awesome.
You like.
This segment is brought to you by Larry Has the World's Largest Wiener.
You can sponsor the show. We'll do that. So there's a lot that goes into that. But if you're interested in advertising on the show, email me and I can get you our rate card and we can talk about ways to make that happen. Let's go real quick. Weight loss update. Here's what I've decided because this is getting frustrating.
Yes.
I'm not going to do it every show from now on. I'm just going to do it the first show of every month.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
It's kind of boring and there's a lot that goes into it. But I'm training for the Donut Dash. I even went for a run last night because I didn't want to run in the rain today. And as Mel and I talked about on the second recording of the podcast last week, I went to a running seminar on Saturday, which is
nerd.
Where was it? Fleet.
It was at Fleet Feet.
Who taught it?
I can't remember the lady's
name. Was it a woman?
It was a woman.
Was she black?
No.
Oh, my friend Tanisha teaches there. She does those. So that's why I didn't know if it was her.
Yeah, it was the proper running form seminar. Really, kind of a cool thing. Because Larry's making
I'm showing how to run.
Larry's showing how to run. It's not exactly right, but he's not terribly up. He's actually showing how to prance right
he's
now.
He's doing like cheerleader run.
Sort of.
Yeah, totally cheerleader run.
So it was kind of cool because I was able to look and some of the changes I made to my running are turned out those are absolutely right. But I learned a lot of stuff from it too. So that was kind of cool. And that was the running seminar.
But even though you're not doing it at the first of the month, since we're talking about it now, how did you do?
I'm down a half pound off last week.
Yay.
Congratulations!
Yeah, I'm down a half pound like in the last 3 weeks. So I just want to, because it kind of grinds the show to a halt, and I want to sort of focus on training. More training for this race coming up than focus on the scale right now. So I'm going to go ahead and do that.
I think we should invite someone. I don't mean to make light of eating disorders, but someone has like anorexia on and they can talk about how much weight they've gained. Like when they're in recovery.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't mean that mean.
I have a cousin, but it's painful. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to deal with.
It's awful.
I think you have to be pretty into your recovery to be able to even talk about it like in this sort of a setting. Yeah. I would imagine.
Do you know that there's a whole group of people called Pro Anna, people that think anorexia is a good thing, and
yeah,
they have websites and
me.
Stuff. It is scary. If you ever want to be freaked out, go to like Google Pro Anna. It's freaky.
Okay. And I lived with a bulimic in college. That was bizarre. My roommate was bulimic. What a pain in my ass.
I know. Always in the bathroom throwing up.
And working out like all night. She'd be doing crunches in the middle of the room. Like she was obsessed. Poor thing.
Oh. What have I done to deserve this?
Have you seen the funniest thing I've ever seen? I literally laughed for about a half an hour. I was at a Notre Dame game with my dad, and there was this huge man. I'm talking like significantly big, like 500, almost. I don't know how he was walking. His shirt said, "I beat anorexia," which was awful and awful and awful. But like part of it was pretty funny.
Because you laughed at the same time.
I mean, I did.
While Larry's talking, this is top of the news. Well, it wasn't top of the news today, but it was in the news today. Big news. Here in California, Prop 8 was declared unconstitutional.
No kidding.
I know. What?
So, why don't you, sort of as someone who would be more affected by that than either Mel or I, what was your feelings when that came down?
Well, it was hopefully expected. Because the Ninth Circuit tends to be pretty liberal. However, and literally their argument made no sense. I wish people understood what they were arguing. Their main argument was that heterosexual marriage is procreative, and that is why you have to protect it, because it creates life. Now, following their logic, if you had uterine cancer, you shouldn't be allowed to get married because your life is not procreative. If you're over the age of, like, 50, you shouldn't be allowed to get married. Like, literally their arguments, if you... they're just beside themselves. I consider myself a person of faith. Like, I go to church every weekend. Like, and I just, like, and what's fun, like, ugh, it just drives me crazy when crazy people talk. But the good news and bad news is that, so now it doesn't really mean anything because a stay will probably get issued, which means marriages can't go back into account. And the way they wrote their decision, which was smart for Californians, bad for the long term, they wrote it so specifically for California that it won't be able to be used in other places, where their main argument was, if you had a right, you can't then take that right away. And that's what Prop 8 did. And so they wrote it so it really limits it. And
yeah, all the people that didn't have a chance to get married now are being prevented from doing what the people who did have the
yes,
opportunity.
You can't have two separate classes under the same class. And so what that also means is that a number of people think the Supreme Court will not take it up. Because even though they're going to appeal it, they'll probably deny it because it's so specific to California. It won't have, I forget all the legalese. It makes me want to go to law school, to be honest. But so it makes me very happy and very excited. Although what's funny is it's like ruled unconstitutional. And anyone with a brain, literally anyone with a brain I know is like, duh.
I
like
though,
really?
The lady on, like I saw some Facebook stuff and the lady was like, why do they have us vote for stuff if they just take it away? I'm like, well.
Yeah. My favorite is I was listening to a black woman talk about how people vote and we need to follow the rule of the law when people vote. And I wanted to say to her, do you know what? In the 1960s, 1970s, let's be honest, 1980s, maybe in the 1990s in some places, you should not be one saying that how the will that like people should vote can dictate public policy. That's scary. And everyone is a minority in some way. And that is scary if you really believe that. Even like our founding fathers said that like, you know, the best democracies are founded by those who protect rights of minorities. So it's a very good day. I think it was somewhat expected. But I love now how when it happened, I didn't go to USA Today. And I know this happens for lots of things. I just went on Facebook and I was reading everyone's articles. It's so much better than getting stupid secondhand news, like a collection of articles. And just to see. And I know there's a couple I know who really wants to get married. Not to be super downer, but she's battling stuff and might not live much longer, so they really wanted to get done. But it's good. It's a happy day in California. It's so anticlimactic though, because everyone's like, duh.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things that you had to go through the legal hurdles to you know, sort of work our way back up. So that's good to know.
I love that you're playing Billy Idol.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Did you like that I was playing the song Gay Bar?
That's fun.
By the Electric Six before that?
I was not. I'm not aware of that song. Though I was very excited because you guys always talk about your LMFAO, and they were at the Super Bowl, and I was like, "There they are.
There they are."
Though the boys always talk about them, and I didn't know who they were. Yeah. They look ridiculous.
Are we talking about the Super Bowl later?
We are talking about the Super Bowl actually right now.
Yes.
That's. I just wanted to. I wanted to talk about the Prop 8 ruling because
thanks, Strady Ally.
Well, I mean, it's top of the news. B, it's important. And see, everybody's talking about the Super Bowl, so let's talk about that right now.
So good.
Let's start with the game itself.
It was fantastic. I love having a Super Bowl that wasn't decided by halftime.
You know, and I like that it was sort of a gritty game. You know, it wasn't, there was no really huge moments or big, exciting, crazy thing. It was just two teams duking it out. And the score stayed close and people were really fighting for it.
Yeah, it was a competitive game, the likes of which, you know, we've had a pretty good run of reasonably competitive games over the past several years, going back to at least the Tennessee Titans Rams Super Bowl, where the game ended with a Titans receiver reaching out and not quite making the goal line. This was sort of reminiscent of that, where they had the Hail Mary at the end of the game that was tipped up and just sort of out of the reach of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
So that was it was a good game. I would have preferred the Patriots win, but I'm not that heartbroken the Giants won.
Did you hear what's his name's wife said?
I did. We're going to get to that in just a second.
Oh, good. I thought the game was really good, and I'm glad the Giants won.
That's who I was rooting for.
Go Giants.
Now,
can we talk about the bigger story for the Super Bowl, about how Kelly Clarkson was fucking amazing?
I think you just did.
She was amazing.
Okay. Moving on to the halftime show.
She was amazing. Oh, the halftime show.
I'm going to start on the halftime show, and you all can either chime in on my side or take your own side. What a sparkly, festering pile of entrails that was. Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
It was awful on 16 different levels. It was just terrible. The Madonna cheerleader thing where they were spelling love, L-U-V, Madonna. I was just like, you remember when I made the statement that women and gays are trying to ruin everything? And you were like, well, how do you mean? Yes. That's how I mean. That right there. Because there's no straight person in America that went, you know what? That's awesome.
I was at a party where a straight person said that was pretty cool.
Well, they were just trying to look good for you.
Mm.
I saw a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter going, oh, this is really good. And I responded by saying, I see a lot of people are saying that this Super Bowl halftime show is really good. You people all have terrible taste.
No, come on. Technically, what they were able to do, the extravaganza around it was pretty awesome.
Whoopty crap.
They covered the field in LCD screens.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. The only thing I will say is I like Madonna. Old Madonna is a little creepy to me, I'll be honest. Do you think it's ironic how she was covered from head to toe so you couldn't see her skinny ass arms and legs?
Did you see the still of her doing a cartwheel?
I did not see the
still.
There was a still
of her doing a cartwheel, and I don't have it up right now, and I'm not going to try and search for it because I don't really want to see it. So she's doing a cartwheel, legs spread, and you can do all the work you want, but the undercarriage is going to show some wear and tear if you put that many miles on it. I don't care who you are.
I did think her weird push-up yoga thing was a little strange.
Dude, the whole thing was strange.
Did you like it, Mel?
You know, overall, I thought for entertainment purposes, I thought the music was good. I thought it was entertaining. It was fun to watch. I like Madonna's music, and I think it was what I expected for a 12-minute halftime show. It was right. flashy. It was bright. It had a lot of singing and weird outfits, and, you know, is that my taste in music or style? No. Would I have been happy if the Foo Fighters had come out and done a couple songs? Yeah, that'd have been fine. You know, or Billy Idol, whatever. But as far as, was it exactly what I expected? Yeah. Was I entertained? Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to know my reaction to the whole thing?
I was a little disappointed on a side note that they, A, invited MIA, that, B, she agreed to do it because I thought it was a total sellout move, and C, that anybody was surprised that she behaved like that, because that's totally who she is.
Right. It's like, seriously, when
she
people were like,
been
oh,
there.
She did, I'm like, oh, really? This is also the same girl, remember, that retired from music 2 years ago because she thought it had been too commercial. So what do? You go to the world's largest corporately sponsored event.
I mean, she's an activist, present. And she's political, and she's a badass, and she's known for misbehaving, and you dress her up like a ding-dong and have her cheerleading with Madonna. What do you expect? How dare she for even agreeing to do it? I thought that was ridiculous of her.
No one that the party was at noticed her flicking off the camera.
No, that's
it
one of the
so fast. I think it was one of the things you only knew after.
Well, that was sort of like the Janet Jackson thing. It was like, if that would have happened 5 years earlier, the Janet Jackson thing before TiVo, when everyone was able to go back, it was like a split second. You know, I'm at a party for the Janet Jackson thing with a group of TV people. And we spot, like, a one-frame video thing that's weird. And I saw it, and I'm like, wow, that looked like a glitch. And so, of course, everybody went back, and, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Madonna cartwheel. But this is pretty much my only exposure to MIA. And oddly, that's what I wanted to do in the middle of the halftime show, too.
It was not that bad. You're the only person I know that doesn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think
didn't
it was
like
painful
it.
At all.
I don't think it was. I think it could have been much, 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 much worse. I think they're faced with a conundrum.
Compared to last year, it was amazing.
Who was last year?
Last year was Black Eyed Peas, and they tried to not lip sync.
And they were awful. And their set thing malfunctioned. It was awful.
Yeah, here's what I was doing during the whole thing. 12 minutes of me doing this.
Oh no.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I didn't have an issue with it. I appreciated that Madonna got out. I thought she did a good job. She had as much energy as she could. She's an older lady. You could tell. You could definitely see her age. But at the same time, could I do any of the shit she did? Hell no. So bless her for doing it. And again, I was completely entertained.
Her stylist, though, needs to be fired, because those shoes were quite possibly the most inappropriate shoes to wear. She almost felt like she looked uncomfortable
walking.
It messed
her posture up, too, which
was
unfortunate.
She could have broken a hip, for God's sake.
She could have.
That's terrible.
She is very frail. She has nothing protecting those bones if she falls.
Honestly, Super Bowl halftime shows, they're just all terrible.
I just wish they'd go back to just having really fun marching bands.
You know, I would have much preferred to see a marching band do a medley of rock songs.
I did like the guy that bounced on the wire, though. I thought that was
the
neat.
Slackliner. Yeah, that was. I mean, you can tell Cirque, because they produced it, did a really good job of like having it entertaining and looking. And just technically, that was fucking amazing what they did.
You know, I also felt really bad for CeeLo Green. He looked incredibly uncomfortable especially when they put him in the robe.
Yeah,
he kept messing with the button. And stuff, and I just felt bad for him.
Yeah, and I know it was CeeLo Green was there because it was on NBC, and he's on The Voice. But I've had enough of CeeLo Green for now. He can take some time off.
So, who would you prefer at a halftime show?
I would prefer a marching band to this, because it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's gotten ridiculous, is what it's just become a ridiculous parody of everything. And granted, there haven't been very many good Super Bowl halftime shows. I think the only one I can sort of point to and go, I really liked that one, because The Who were on 1 year, and I love The Who, but The Who is 30 years past what they should have been. I would have to go back to the year that Aerosmith was on, and they brought a young Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake up. I think that was a decent halftime show.
I remember
show.
That.
And I think
that one was a little confusing. It felt like they brought a lot of people.
Yeah,
up.
I do remember. It was a lot of people.
Oh, really? More than Nicki Minaj, MIA, and LMFAO?
Yeah. It was, I didn't even know who all the people were. Yeah. They kept coming and coming.
All those people kind of blended. And to be honest, I think LMFAO should just have a halftime show Because oh, they're coming to Sacramento. I can't. It's kind of secret, but they're coming.
Not anymore. It's not.
I know. But they would have such a fun show. Because like they would just be themselves.
Yeah, it would have been a lot better than that. I'm just it's gone over the boat. So anyway,
Indigo Girls. I'm going to start a petition for the Indigo Girls to perform at halftime.
Madonna did put her hoo hoo on the guy's neck because she climbed on his shoulders. The LMFAO guy.
Here's what we could just have. Sarah McLachlan could just do a bunch of sad songs.
The poor dying dogs.
To dust images of dying pets.
Oh my god, how big off would that be? Huge LCD screens all over the field with just like. Beat down dogs.
Sad-eyed kitties.
sad-eyed pets. Aww. Anyway, so a powerful parents TV watchdog claims NBC failed the American public by, quote, enabling MIA to flip off the camera during the halftime show, and now the group is demanding punishment.
I love they enabled her.
Yeah. The Parents Television Council. Now, let me just...
They gave her fingers.
Well, the parents... Anytime your group has the word parents or children or family in it, you automatically lose 10 points on my credibility scale. They've released a statement on the incident saying, quote, "It is unfortunate that a spectacular sporting event was overshadowed once again by broadcasting the selfish acts of a desperate performer."
I don't think it was really overshadowed too much, but whatever.
No, you know what really is overshadowing it is the fact that they're bringing it up and talking about it because let it freaking. You know what we should be talking about today instead of this? The shot of Rush Limbaugh digging for gold like two knuckles deep in his nose when they took a shot of Robert Kraft's Skybox.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. How about that? Let's talk about that.
I think MIA was counting on them doing exactly this.
Of course.
And we're talking about her, so she...
Yeah, good for her.
Well, let's end that. moving on to other weird moves. I saw this on The Soup last week, and I was kind of confused. I didn't really know how to feel about this. This is Liam Neeson. He's on the publicity tour for his movie.
Yeah, I want more information from you on this.
His movie, The Gray. And he is talking to one of the co-anchors on Good Day LA.
Oh, no.
And
I looked for any other related articles on this. I couldn't find any more. I just wanted to know more about it.
Well, I mean, there's not really a lot more to know about it other than he's on a publicity tour and he kind of expects people to... people to watch.
Ultimate nail biter. What was it like for you when you first read the script?
So you haven't seen it, Lisa, right?
I don't know where that comes from. No, I know people who saw it last night. They loved it.
It really makes life hard to talk to someone that hasn't seen the film. You know, I just have to say that because
I wanted to hear
it's
right
always
before
uphill
that.
After this. Okay, go ahead.
Because she just says, like, what do you think of the script? And he just laid into her.
Well, you know what comes before that, Mel? They come out of a breaker. They come out of something else.
So she must have said something about, having not seen this movie, I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
No, she would never say that. But because she asked a question that obviously was not pertinent to the... To anybody who has seen the film would know that that question is a stupid question, is really where he's coming from.
How'd you feel when you read the script?
Well,
I just thought it wasn't neutral, and he just laid into her, and I just wanted to know, like, provoked that.
It wasn't the, what did you feel when you read the script? It was, oh, it's a real nail biter, which, you know, I'm kind of torn on it because I can kind of see where he's coming from. Dude is there in a chair for probably about 5 hours answering the same questions over and over again, and she's probably about the sixth person who has no idea what the movie is about other than a paragraph they read.
I know, but that's his job.
Right, he's got paid millions of dollars, and his job there is to make people want to see the movie. This makes me not to want to see the movie.
Yeah, press junket sucks. I'm sure you have to do a million of them, and I'm sure it's horrible and grueling. Right. But I didn't understand how, what did you think when you read the script provoked, you haven't seen my movie.
Well, no. That wasn't what provoked that. It was what she said before that. Which I know we had a little bit of a problem hearing that because it was right at the beginning, but she said something along the lines of, oh, it's a real nail biter or it's suspenseful. And then he goes, oh, so you haven't seen it then.
Because I haven't seen it, but I know sort of the basic premise of it. And I think it looks amazing, but it does look suspenseful and nail bitey.
And that's how they portray it. And the people that paid him millions of dollars to make the movie are spending millions of dollars to advertise it being exactly that. So he's mad at her. Like, it's an obnoxiously douchey thing to do.
It just seems like no matter what they say, your job is to smile and go, it was the best project and I'm so proud of it. Thanks
right.
so much.
Exactly. Your job, like, it's not two people having a conversation. What does that do for Susan sitting on her couch watching Good Day LA?
Watching you be mean to a
news lady. You just come across as a douche and you feel bad.
And she she's not going to see every fucking movie. She doesn't have all the time in the world, and she may not care about your movie. She may only like romance movies.
I don't like Liam
Neeson. Well, to go to your point, Mel, it's her job to sort of read at least parts of books and see parts of movies to know what goes on.
She saw the preview. She knew it was a nail biter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what her job is. I don't know if she's just an anger or she's supposed to see every movie.
Well, good,
either way, even if she saw some of it or parts of it.
Hand jobs. Her job are hand jobs.
Good Day LA is not really it's not really news per se. They've got a news anchor. They've got this guy, Steve, who's a real news anchor. He was at one point in his life. And then she is she's not the brightest bulb in the packet. And here's the other thing we don't know. How many other movies has he gone on that show to promote and gotten her with her idiotic question?
Yeah, see, that's what I want to know. Was there a history? Did something else happen?
But
I just want to know. But
it's on camera. It's something you could have done before or after. And he was a douchebag and made her look stupid. And I just think it's obnoxious when people that have immense wealth and power think it's fine to be a douchebag to someone that does not have as much money and power as them, especially in front of an audience.
I think she's doing okay for herself.
Yeah, I don't think, but
she's a local newscaster opposed to Liam Neeson, and there was no need for him to do that, in
my
opinion, either. I just thought it was mean.
All right, now, watching your husband's team lose the Super Bowl, that's not easy.
No.
But there's been a big kerfuffle over Gisele Bündchen, and I'm not going to play the audio because the audio is so hard to hear. It's obviously recorded from, she's talking to friends near an elevator, and there's been a group of Giants fans who are chanting shit about her husband. It's after the game, and she's talking to friends amongst themselves, and the audio is so hard to hear because they had to boost their levels so high to get anything out of there. But what she said was, "You have to catch the ball when you're supposed to catch the ball. My husband can't fucking throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time. I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times." Which, that was kind of my reaction too.
It's a true statement. A douchey thing to say because you push everyone else on your team under the bus, but it's kind of douchey.
It's not her team, and she was frustrated for her husband in a moment of passion not doing an interview. I'm sure if she was in front of the press corps, she would have said, it's a team effort, and they win as a team, and they lose as a team, and everybody gave it their all. But in a moment of heated passion, we were all saying the same thing. Like, how do they drop so many passes?
I think it's non-news.
And I think it's unfair to her. I mean, I realize you're in the limelight and you're a celebrity, so every fucking moment of your life is caught on tape or video or whatever. But give her a break. She was sad and pissed off, and people were giving her the business anyway, so fuck those guys.
Get used to it, Mel, when the podcast takes off.
Oh, yeah. Follow me around. I am fucking boring.
The paparazzi were already outside when I came in. It was kind of annoying.
They're going to follow you around in your attempt to navigate Facebook timeline.
I'm just going
to
yell at them, douchebag.
You made me so mad today, Nate. I was so glad that all my friends were like, you're right, Mel. You're right, Mel.
What were you?
All that proves, Mel, is that your friends are.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Are.
I knew you were going to fucking say that. And that is not true. And that's why it made me so mad. And then he would have the video like making like I'm some retard. And then everybody else agreed that they have the same fucking problem with that site. And it made me mad.
What are you talking about?
When I go on people's timeline, if I scroll down and want to read something, it just bounces back to the top, and I don't know how to lock it in.
It's
and
bizarre.
Everybody's telling me they're having the same problem, but Nate acts like I'm the retard.
Oh,
actually,
no.
Mel, I went to Facebook. I went to Larry's page, to be exact, on Facebook, and I was able to scroll up and down to my heart's content. So I actually did test it before I posted
that problem.
Yeah, I did it over and over again. I would scroll down, I'd get halfway through the article, and then it would just bounce.
It's
and I'm not doing anything.
Annoying as hell when it happens.
And then everybody else is telling me they're having the same problem with the hiccups, and it goes back to the top, and they think Facebook's working on it. So
you're like, ugh.
And,
ugh.
Yeah, and what she's angry about, Larry? Which
is he was just being mean.
That's not very nice.
That's what
nice.
I was angry about. The thing you put up had nothing to do with it, so I didn't even exactly understand the dig, except you're saying, like, I'm Granny from the whatever.
It was an old Winston commercial that they used the Beverly Hillbillies cast for, and basically the premise was that Granny called her friend Pearl, who was in another state, and they were talking about Winston, and Granny somehow thought that Pearl was able to taste the cigarette through the phone line.
Because they were both smoking, but she didn't realize she was smoking her own cigarette. She thought she was getting her cigarette through the phone. She's like, doesn't that taste good? And she's like, yes, it
does. What
does
that have to do? I
didn't understand what it had to do either. And it was the same thing. It was like, you know, there was a blackout, and somebody being like, oh, you're retarded. You don't know how to work your lights. No, it's not working. I'm not doing anything wrong.
I don't know. I didn't have any problem with it.
I thought
so
it
I
was
don't
mean
know what
of
you're
talking
about. Maybe so, but I thought it was funny. So that's why I did it.
Whatever.
Maybe me.
Every time you point your finger, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself.
How about this? I got six fingers pointing back at me, and they're all mine, yo. You know what time it is, guys?
What time is it?
It's
Flavor Flav time.
Oh, God.
Is it Larry has the world's largest wiener presents Tool or not a Tool?
Well, you've almost paid attention to the show. Mel, what time is it?
Cool.
Hey.
Tool.
Whoa.
See, but if I sponsored, I can rename it.
Well, you could, but Cooler Tool is sponsored by the Lady Business Show coming up on February 18th.
Yay.
At the Sacramento Comedy Spot. See Mel. Doing improv on stage with her other Lady Business cohorts, making up funny scenes on the spot. You can get a ticket to see Lady Business at 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Comedy Spot for $8. Or you can get a combo ticket, see Lady Business and Anti-Cooperation League for $12.
Come out and I'll show you my Lady Business.
There you go.
Meow.
See? Sponsorships. So, let's start off. First off, Cooler Tool, MIA for flipping the bird. Larry.
I'm kind of indifferent. I won't say cool, a light tool. She's a tool.
No?
Just for this incident.
Oh, geez, man. I'm going to say tool for even being part of the Super Bowl show, which goes against her nature and her character. But I don't think she's a tool for flipping the bird because, again, I think that goes exactly with her nature and her character.
I'm going to go tool because I think it's a tool move. I mean, you know you're on the Super Bowl. You know what you're there for, and you know that this is going to be a big deal.
That's exactly why she did it.
Yeah, and there was a sports site that joked, look, if you want to make a big deal of it, do it the old-fashioned way and put out a sex tape. So it was kind of a cool, it was kind of a tool thing to do.
Her husband might not like that.
Well, maybe she does it with him.
Oh, well,
there you go.
Maybe.
Bright side. All right, Cooler Tool, second this time around. I think I know how you guys are going to go on this one. Liam Neeson for calling out a reporter for not seeing his film.
Tool. Being tool, disrespectful tool, to tool. Anyone is a tool.
Yeah.
You know, I found it a refreshing breath of fresh air and honesty.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
He was bullying her.
Well, look, I'm going to go a light tool on this one because, look, you're working in Los Angeles. It's the second largest media market, and it's the home of show business. Show a little bit of gumption and know a little bit more about what you're talking about and who you're talking to. So I will give him tool, but I will coat it with a light honey sprinkling of she should have known better.
When he comes on our show, I'm going to let him know that it was very rude to do that.
Yeah, we'll have him on to plug one of his terrible movies that I saw a trailer for.
I think we should call his friend Joe Carnahan and
tell
that's
Joe
true.
We're
we should.
Oh,
say
yes.
Listen.
We'll have Joe Carnahan react to that.
Can you please forward a text from us? Thank you.
You know, although that exact same thing, having seen Joe Carnahan a couple of times at the Comedy Spot, that seems like something Joe Carnahan would say too.
Yeah, so, he's pretty much a badass, so he doesn't put up with much.
So, yeah, it falls under the same thing. And finally, Cooler Tool, Gisele Bündchen for defending her man. Larry?
These are complicated.
I know, that's the whole
I'm
point.
I'm going to say lightly cool because, she didn't lie. Let's be honest, if you watched that game and thought that they were trying to catch those balls, then you need help. I'm going to say lightly tool. I think it get the situations she should have done it better, but I don't think it makes her a bad person. I'm going to say she's not a tool. So that's my answer.
Okay, Mel.
I'm going to say cool for not editing herself and being a human being and not living her life like she's being taped every minute because she shouldn't have to.
I'm going to go along the same lines. I'm going to say she's cool. And here's why she's cool. One, she has her husband's back no matter what. Got his back. That is awesome. Second reason, she was talking in a small group, in a hushed group, waiting for an elevator with a group of friends. The way that this recording was sort of obtained was shady, to say the least. And if go online and listen to it, because I'm not going to play it on the show because it sounds so shitty. It's just a lot of noise just to be able to pull up enough so that you can hear her. And you know what? It's not really what you want to say, but it's not like she was yelling it to high heavens. It was just speaking to friends in what she thought was a private moment. And it was also correct. So she is cool on three levels.
She's also cool because she gets to have sex with a really hot dude and she's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Those two things also make her kind
of
cool.
Not only that, she out earns him by like 3 or 4 to 1.
Wow.
I mean, she's worth like $150 million. Girlfriend's got it going on.
Yeah.
Are her boobies insured?
I would guess that all of her is insured. That would be my guess.
I would probably agree.
Well, that's not the most. Her boobies are not the most impressive part of her either.
And horrifically unrelated news, but people who are worth a lot of money.
To boobies.
Do you watch Top Chef? Okay, the new Top Chef, Pee Wee Herman, was just on. How the fuck does a man that's almost 60 look like that?
Because he wears so much makeup and he's had a little bit of work done.
Crazy how he looks.
Paul, it was one of the only times Paul would sit and watch Top Chef with me because he likes Pee Wee Herman.
Wow.
It was really fun.
He's a fan of his masturbating skills.
You know, I think anybody who watched the show has just a soft spot for Pee Wee and how ridiculous he is, especially at his age.
You know what? Here's the thing that I like Paul Rubens from, and I'm going to call him Paul Rubens. If you've seen the movie Blow, he is fantastic in the movie Blow.
For half a second, I thought you were going to say Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
no.
And I was like, Have
you met me?
Why would I say
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
See, when you say Blow, I think of the Kesha song Blow. So, and that video is so weird because it's her and James Vanderbeek making out with unicorns that maybe he's in it.
The Pee Wee Top Chef was a good one. It was very exciting. And they got cool Schwinn bikes.
I know. I love how they had to drive around on their bikes and go to random restaurants and ask, can I prep in your kitchen?
Though, again, when you show up with a whole Top Chef camera crew into a restaurant, they're probably going to say yes.
Yeah.
I love that the one guy went to the bed and breakfast and they made him cook eggs for their guests while he's doing the challenge.
They're like, can you make two eggs over easy? It's a real kitchen. We need to serve some food here. He's like, really?
It was awesome.
Oh, I love Top Chef.
You know, it's the political season and things are going crazy and everybody thinks Newt Gingrich is saying the most horrible things. And he is. Well, we're not going to talk about Newt Gingrich, and we're not going to talk about the presidential candidates. We're going to talk about the Senate campaign in the state of Michigan, where a Pete Hoekstra ad has been drawing more criticism, and it's been called really, really dumb. So at the beginning, there is an Asian woman riding a bicycle through the rice paddies. That's how the commercial starts. I'll play it for you in a second. Now, first, there was a group of Asian Americans who decried the ad. It was on during the Super Bowl, by the way. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Then a coalition of black ministers came out and condemned the ad. And
I love when black ministers look out the rights for Asians
I know.
On bikes and rice fields.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. And
the sad thing is I really, really get what he was trying to do with this, and I appreciate it.
You appreciate it. All right, well, without any further ado, here it is.
He just went about it a little fucked up.
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spendetnow. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy get very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spendetnow.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spendetnow and Pete Spendetnot. I'm Pete Spendetnot Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
I mean, I get what he's trying to say.
Me too. I think everyone does.
What a fucking retard.
But when your commercial borders on the line where you literally have to think, could this be made by The Onion or on Saturday Night Live? Someone in his campaign should have said, we should maybe tweak this message.
Oh, dude, that's funnier than anything I've seen on Saturday Night Live in a while. That is definitely Onion quality stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that I haven't heard an Asian accent that bad since Extras on MASH.
That's because she's probably lives in L.A.
Oh.
She probably lives in it. She goes to the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
She's a pharmacy student. Let's be real.
Oh, boy.
If she would have said, sucky fucky $5, I would have voted for him.
Well,
I'm kidding.
That's the next ad. Me love you long time.
But that's how they should end it. We love you a long time, Michigan.
I mean, I get it. He's saying, you know, we're not being smart in this country and other countries are surpassing us and they're taking the money and they're going to own us and we're going to be whatever. But holy fuckballs, you have an Asian girl going through a rice paddy. Oh, it's so awkward.
On a bicycle.
When I saw it originally, I literally was like,
I thought it was a joke.
It would have been the only thing that would have made it better is if she would have been pulling a rickshaw
and wearing a coolie hat,
and or dressed as a
kabuki.
A
geisha,
not Chinese.
Oh, speaking of, can I do a quick plug? If you're in Northern California, you should come to San Francisco this weekend because the country's largest parade. And the world's largest Chinese New Year celebration outside of China will be taking place. Over a million people will be on the streets of San Francisco to watch the Chinese New Year parade.
Then I'm not going anywhere near it.
It's huge. And there's it's massive. You don't feel like there's that many people. And I'll be performing. You should come. It's going to be super fun. Chinese New Year's parade Saturday evening. Over a million people, y'all.
Yeah, that sounds like something I want to avoid, like the plague.
If I already had a room reserved, maybe, but I won't go into the city for that stuff.
It's so pretty because it's at night and they have the lit up dragons and all the floats are massive. Although, because it's California, it's not just Chinese New Year's, it's like Asian New Year's. So it's really fun to be like Filipinos. And then because it's San Francisco, there's like, you know, Filipino bears who own children or who have children association. Here's their float.
Well, here's what blows my mind. The fact that we're so PC that we assume that every Asian culture gets along famously.
Yeah, not so much.
No, it's one of the only times they all come together.
Right, and it's only because they're here and everyone's watching them. Because Asian cultures are known for committing genocide on one another, historically. Yeah. Not necessarily recently.
Well, and there's the huge Asian hierarchy, which if you know an Asian, ask them, because they will tell you clearly where people fall. But it's really interesting when someone at the bottom talks to you, they'll be honest about, yeah, we're at the bottom.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted. The next Asian I see, I'm going to ask him about the hierarchy, Larry.
I'll explain it to you.
Hey, you're Asian. Tell me about the hierarchy.
And ask who
where do you fall?
And ask where who, if fall? It's a girl, ask who, like, her mother, her grandmother would rather have her marry. And go through different types of people, and it'll be very interesting to hear. Like, okay, so when I worked at Maryland, one of my grad assistants, Kendra, she said, my grandmother would have been happy, and she married a white man. She's like, she was more happy that I married a white man than if had I married a man of, and she listed several countries, Asian countries. She's like, because that would really be degrading.
Is Kendra a traditional Asian name?
Kendra's son is. Son, oh. S-U-N. I wonder if she's listening. Hi, Kendra-san, if you're listening.
Hello, Kendra-san. Hey, this falls under your... let me find out if you're offended by this, Larry.
Uh-oh.
I think you might be. CNN's Roland Martin, who...
Oh, fuck yes, I'm offended. How could you not be?
Well, I don't know. He's so cute. He looks like his neck is blowing a bubble. Anyway, he's under fire from gay rights groups after tweeting that people should, quote, smack the ish out of male fans of the steamy Super Bowl commercial starring David Beckham.
Can I just say... Thank you, David Beckham. That commercial
Holy
was so
shit.
Hot.
That might have turned a dude that was at a Super Bowl party, the Super Bowl party I was at, who was straight, maybe turned him questioningly bisexual, because he was like, that's really hot.
I had that awkward, well, okay. Do you guys, this is maybe TMI, do you remember like the first time when you were kind of like a teenager and you got a hold of a porn and you watched it in the room with your friends and you didn't know what to do?
Yes,
like,
completely.
Do I giggle? Do I get aroused? Do I just sit here like a stone? Like, I don't know. I felt that way. Like, I was in a room of mixed company and I literally wanted to moan and I just like, I feel awkward watching this commercial. And I moaned and everybody giggled.
No, it's a very good idea. It's a very good way to...
He's so beautiful.
So fucking hot.
Well, here's the thing. If you're watching, if you're in a room with a group of other people, mixed company, watch, and you're a guy and you're watching porn, you're just horribly worried that someone's going to notice if you pop a boner.
Yeah.
So pretty much your whole goal is to not do that.
Or not pop a boner.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, if you're gay and you are watching porn and you're not turned on by it at all, and you're a little concerned that other people are going to realize you're not turned on by it. Yeah. No, or the other way.
Maybe he's not gay. Get him, boys.
Or like the reverse. If you're young and watching porn with people and you're not really turned on by it, and everyone's like, that's so hot, and you're just like, I guess.
Meh.
Fast forward through where they show the boy.
Did you get the video that I sent you today on Facebook?
No, I didn't.
It was all based on this, and I didn't want to put it on Larry's wall. But it's sort of an antiquated 50s thing about how to beware of gays. And it was a warning to young boys.
I've seen that one.
About
okay.
Hitchhiking. It starts out with hitchhiking, but to be aware of men who are very friendly.
It's God. Hysterical.
It is. It
but
is
I
want to
know why you were offended by what he did.
Because.
I'm interested.
What he said was that if you're with people and a guy finds that ad enticing, you need to slap him.
And you don't believe that he was saying his thing is that he always bags on soccer players?
No, because he's a homophobe.
Yeah. That.
And the problem I have is whenever you're speaking to a male, especially because he speaks to predominantly males, and they're still... Although people might feel very differently about this, we still live in a society where being gay can lead to your death. Joking about someone, especially with like, I have a weird story to say this, but after this, but like when you connect violence with someone finding attraction to someone, I think it's just a bad slope because then it's like, oh, it's okay. And for someone someone that gets paid on CNN, if he would have said that about, hey, if you're watching and you find Haley Bailey hot, you need to hit her. Like, that's, or you need to hit him because she's black. Like, that's just stupid. I'm more like, I don't think necessarily he might have been homophobic, but I think that someone's stupid for CNN to say, who should be more clearly more aware of what he's supposed to say.
If you're watching the Super Bowl in Detroit and you find that Asian chick in the Pete Hoekstra ad hot, you need to be smacked. I'm trying to draw the correlation. Never mind.
But okay, so the Super Bowl party I was at the end, it was at my friend's house, and she, when she moved in, found a bag of porn that the previous owners left, and it was like Hustler from like 1991, 92, 93, 94.
Oh, hold on, let me ask a quick question. Yeah. How hairy were the vaginas?
Oh, not too hairy.
Okay, so we started the grooming process.
There were a lot of gay dudes. Actually, the gays were outnumbering the straighties, and we were looking through it, and literally, I turned a page, and my mouth dropped to the floor. Because keep in mind, this is 1993. I told her to keep it. It's a cartoon, and keep in mind, it's Hustler. So think about who it's advertised for, like who. And it's a cartoon, and it's a family at a dinner table, and the dad's holding a gun, and there's one like guy who's like on the floor, shot, and the dad is saying, "Does anyone else want to come out of the closet?"
Oh.
And literally, we were like, what the fuck? Like, seriously? And this is 1990s.
Well, are you familiar with the way Hustler
does? Meg is making the face that we did, because we were like, how is that okay? How, like, we were literally, like, beside ourselves.
What was, like, was there a...
No joke. That was literally the entire cartoon.
I don't want to see it. My mind is blown.
Yeah, Hustler has one-panel cartoons. Yeah. So it's you get one drawing and a caption.
In what way, though, was that supposed to be funny at all? How is that a cartoon?
It's not. And it was a full page. So, like, I read it and was like, holy fucking God. I was like, oh, my God, what is it? Because they were really funny things that we were seeing in those magazines. And then he was like, oh, my God. He's like, I'm taking a picture of this. I can't fucking believe this.
It makes me think of, like, you know, like anybody else that wants to go against the Syrian government. Bam. You know, like, what?
Like, how is that? What?
It's not funny.
And Hustler, yeah, we're just like, oh, fuck. So that's how, I'm sorry, that's in my mind, it's connected.
Well, first of all, I don't think Hustler has a whole lot of gay male readers.
That's not the point.
That's even more the point.
I understand that, but and it's not okay. Let me first say that. Not okay. Not a single part of it is okay. Do not misconstrue what I'm about to say by me thinking it's okay. I'm just trying to go through the logic process that they would allow this in their pages.
They would think the guys would like find it funny or relate to it.
And if they make the argument, I'm sorry, it's a little too hard for me to go, but someone was like, well, maybe they thought it was trying to show like how fucked up that is. But I'm like, in a Hustler magazine, it's a cartoon? What the fuck?
It needed a second panel if they were doing that with some explanation.
Yeah. Well, although I literally was talking to a friend of mine who's in a conversation with their friends, and the husband and his wife are pregnant. And the husband's like, I'm okay if my son's gay as long as he's a good gay and not a femi-gay. We're like, what the fuck?
That is a backhanded compliment.
That is not okay.
I know. We're like, that does not make it better.
That's like an Asian guy going, I'm okay if I have a daughter as long as she's not butch.
Or rides a bike in bad Senate campaign commercials.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
All right. So now things are getting ridiculous. Just ridiculous. You know what?
There's a dick in there.
There it is. And you know what? In order to take a break from ridiculousness before we move on to more ridiculousness, Larry, you sent this out, so I figured I would play it.
It makes me happy.
This is...
Oh, fuck yeah. I think I know what it is.
Name that instrument.
Okay, if you can't name this instrument, you've never heard Weird Al. This is a bunch of North Koreans playing the accordion, and they're playing Take On Me by A-ha.
It singly makes me question all my feelings about North Korea prior to this moment. How can you hate a country where they produce something like this?
What now, Larry, what if it was the great leader who demanded this be done?
Well, quite frankly, then I like him.
Posthumously.
I mean...
He had some good points. He had this done. Oh, that reminds me, the running seminar I went to, there was an Asian lady who came in. Her name was A-ha.
It's cute.
Is she from North Korea?
I don't know. We didn't ask.
Where was she in the hierarchy?
Again, didn't ask.
She always was having a moment.
She was. She was. I'm having a me moment. she came in. Well, She showed up late, and everybody had already gone through, you know, what's your name, you know, injuries, stuff like that as we started.
Was it like a who's on first moment?
It was really interesting because We got to her, and she came in, and everybody's wearing running shoes and like workout stuff. And she shows up, she's wearing jeans and a top and a cute little vest, and she's wearing like platform shoes, not heels, but just like chunky platform shoes.
Well, it was like a speaking thing, right? And you weren't expected to run.
Oh no, yeah, we were.
Oh,
of course, of course.
Oh, I thought it was more just like a sit and listen.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, no. How are you going to learn proper running form if you don't actually someone doesn't watch and make sure you're doing it right?
The power of visualization.
Right. So anyway, she comes in, and it was just this weird moment where. So she's the last one in, and she doesn't speak really great English, a little less than the chick in the ad.
Racist.
I'm just saying, it's not her first language. She does okay with it. And the instructor goes, "And what's your name?" And she goes, "Aha." Uh-huh. And there was this,
no, honey, what's your name?
There was this momentary pause where the instructor was like processing that answer. Oh, it was this pause, and then there was like, oh. Well, welcome. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It was all I could do to not unhinge my jaw like Mel is right now.
She must get that, though, all the time.
Did he go, aha?
No.
Your name
nobody,
is Aha.
Nobody did anything like that. Everybody was very cool about it, and it was a very diverse group. The only person I had a problem with was the old guy who was probably 55, 60, who showed up wearing just the spandex pants.
Meow.
Don't do that.
Did you have the person that every seminar has that asks way more questions that they don't need to ask?
Nope.
That's so lucky.
Nate was that person.
It was really a fantastic group. I was very thrilled. Nobody asked a bunch of questions. It was just really a cool group to hang out with. I was very happy with it.
I actually went to a seminar a while back for my work that I had to go to, and there was the lady in the room that was the question answer, and she was asking, or the question asker, and she was asking question after question, and a lot of them were just pointless or stupid or didn't matter. And I finally was just like, could you maybe save some of your questions till the end and just ask the instructor by yourself? And people were just like, oh, I can't believe she just said that. But they were glad because...
Well, yeah. I mean, there's only a certain amount of time, and your personal questions can wait till after.
Well, it's like, you know, you're at the running seminar, and somebody's like, so what if I'm running, and there's a 45-degree incline, and I get a pebble in my shoe, but I'm also holding my lucky keychain? It's like, who the fuck cares?
It was interesting. But no, it was a fantastic group.
I think we should go to seminars, find random seminars, and go and ask the most bizarre questions. Like, at the running seminar, I'd be like, so I'm in my third trimester. What kind of protein should I be eating?
I'm going to a free victim witness seminar. You should come and ask really inappropriate questions.
Is it all? I really should come and ask like the wrong questions. But that'd be really funny.
What are the right questions in that circumstance?
I don't know, but I always think of really inappropriate, not funny for my job things because that's how my brain works.
Me
and I'm
too.
Like, what is the most?
Me too.
So I'm not even going to say it, but you know, I just think of really inappropriate.
Can I?
Sure.
The most inappropriate thing is that. So what did you say just before he raged out and hit you?
To deserve it?
Because that probably led to it. I'm not saying. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
How low was your top?
Like, so while we know that most rapes aren't your fault, for the few that are, when you're dealing with those people. So
I do diversity trainings every now and then, and I've always wanted, like, in the middle, because all mine are approached with humor, but, like, I always wanted to be like, no, it's important to be nice to coloreds. And just to see how people would react, because could you imagine? Or, like, oh my God, I went to this thing when I used to live in D.C. It was a 3-day training about racism, oppression, reduction, which was good, although some of it was so fucking far-fetched. It was like a guy talked for about 20 minutes how black licorice tastes bad because we're a racist society, which I just had so many problems with because there's so many real valid things you can say about race. But when you talk about that, exactly, like, oh my God, oh, it was crazy. But that would have been someplace if I would have asked something like that, people would have disintegrated and cried, and like, I probably would have, they would have called the police for me oppressing them. But he literally talked about how black licorice is bad because it reflects society's disdain for black people.
But we like chocolate chip cookies because they're more mocha-y.
Well,
no,
I would have been
they're
like,
less offensive.
Well,
you're
then,
fucking crazy.
And I was like, what about Starbucks? Does that just mean we're like Latinos because we really like caramel-colored drinks? Like... Oh, I thought that was funny.
You're fucking crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else is crazy?
What?
Things being taken to court in California that aren't gay marriage related.
What hasn't been taken to court in California?
I don't think there's much left.
Well, I didn't think so either, but a federal judge, for the first time in U.S. history, heard arguments on Monday in a case that could determine whether animals enjoy the same constitutional protection against slavery as human beings. Yep, that's right. U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Miller called the hearing in San Diego after SeaWorld asked the court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by our friends at PETA. That names five orcas as plaintiffs in the case.
They named orcas? They named Willie.
Yeah, exactly. PETA claims that the captured killer whales are treated like slaves for being forced to live in tanks and perform daily at its parks in San Diego and Orlando, Florida.
Am I going to have to start paying my dog a living wage?
You may have to. You may have to. Now, Jeffrey Kerr, who is PETA's attorney, said, and I quote, "This case is on the next frontier of civil rights."
No, it's not.
No, it's not a civil right. Animal. Oh, my God.
It's a step backwards, perhaps.
I love it. So here's what's happened on consecutive days in the state of California. We have, let me make sure that this was this week and not last week. It is two back-to-back days in the state of California. In San Diego, in a court, they heard a case brought by five orcas that they were undergoing slave-like treatment. Meanwhile, we had to wait one more day to find out that the ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional.
Do they give them little signs? They're like, heck no, we won't work. Orcas for a free world.
California's not a right-to-work state, so why can't the orcas organize and form their own? We should
tell
SEIU that they will be all over
it. No, it's because they're being enslaved by their overlords.
To be fair, they're oppressed. Do you know why we don't give them rights? Because they're black. And society does not respect black orcas.
They're also
white.
If
they were white, no, polar bears have rights. Polar bears get assistant checks from the state.
Well, they're also white, too. They're a little of both.
Really?
Oh, they're mixed.
PETA really tries to be irrelevant. Like, I think everyone agrees we should treat animals respectfully. You should obviously abuse animals. But, like, they're animals.
Like,
they're,
when
they're
does it end?
Animals.
Like, literally, do you have... What do you do if you're, like, your dog? You can't tell your dog to sit because you're forcing him to?
People are going to call
you're
Child Protection Services.
Food.
Oh, yeah. I'm on a...
You
I'm
got mad that
on
they
that.
Peed on the floor.
Speaking of which, Well, I can't believe I almost just said that. Did anybody watch Dr. Phil yesterday?
No.
No.
Enlighten us, Mel.
It was the most disturbing story of ever.
Okay.
It was a little girl that from like age 2 to age 8 was kept in a closet and only taken out to be beaten or had sex with. And then she was rescued. It was horrible.
Ew.
And she was only like she was 25 pounds and like 4 feet tall when she was found at 8 years old. Like she was teensy.
Wow.
She's still very short because she didn't develop right. And she ate like her own poo and wood and plastic. She ate anything she could. She had to have surgery because she was all impacted from eating non-food things because she was starving. It was really disturbing.
Oh my God.
Dr. Phil will do anything
Dr.
for ratings.
Wow.
I can't wait. Did you see the preview or the promo for Dr. Oz where he's bringing on fat girls? Like, not just chubby girls,
like
not big girls, but like 600-pound girls.
Uh-huh.
And some who are saying, like, anything that tells me to lose weight is oppressive and, like, you need to love yourself. And the other people who are saying, fuck you, you're a bitch, you can't do anything. And I'm not joking. He has, like, a huge couch with, like, 10 of them. And they're all these massive-sized girls.
And they're all really happy to be like that?
No, half are. And so they're fighting. And he gets mad at some of them. He's like, if you don't want to save your lives, then you don't need to be here.
He is
the most, like...
Hold on. Don't say anything bad about Dr. Oz.
Oh, gosh.
Don't say anything bad about Dr. Oz.
He's a very small man.
Well, compared to them, he is.
I kind of wish I had a friend like that because then I'd look really tiny.
Actually, compared to them, you, Mel, and I put together are tiny. Anyway, moving on. That was a fat joke.
Sorry, I digress.
Oh, and then, I'm sorry, on TLC, they now have a show like, I'm 900 pounds or I'm 950 pounds. This girl, she wants weight loss surgery, but she couldn't she couldn't give up. She was drinking 2 liters of like Lipton sweet tea. And I was just like, bitch, how the hell are you drinking that much? And then she would like cry. Like, it was crazy how much food she ate. I mean, she was immobile, but like, wow. When you get that big, like, what do you do?
Nothing.
drink 3 liters of sweet tea.
Because the problem is, once you can't, the heavier you get, the more uncomfortable it is to exercise and to do anything, and you just sort of give up, and then it just spirals. Will you stop farting at me?
No, you asked what they did, and then they do a lot of this.
Maybe.
Maybe. Hey, did you guys hear what happened in Vermont? This just came out this week. This
no.
is awesome. Well, apparently a clever prisoner. They put prisoners in charge of graphics departments in jails in Vermont.
I did hear
so
this.
So a female prisoner made a slight redesign on the Vermont State Police emblem that they have on the side of police cars. So you'll like this one, Mal.
No, you will not.
Police pride themselves on their courage and integrity, but someone just threw a handful of mud on that reputation. Calling a police officer a pig is a long-standing insult, and it turns out Vermont's largest police force had no clue until this week they were labeled porkers on their own cars.
We haven't ever actually had a manipulation like this before.
Female inmates working in a state prison workshop back in 2008 printed up decals for the sides of state cruisers. And one prisoner apparently morphed a spot on a cow in Vermont's coat of arms into a pig. 30 police cars carried the prank for at least a year.
The Vermont State Police refused to
at least a year.
Well, it's not super noticeable. I didn't notice it the first time you pointed to it.
Oh, but it is.
But in a brief written statement,
not really.
Well,
no.
The first time it went by when you pointed it, I didn't get it.
No,
I was
no,
like,
no.
It's a cow.
Right. Here's the problem, though. And they get into this later in the story. I'm just going to talk over a little bit now. But the logo should not have a spotted cow in it at all. This cow is supposed to be solid colored.
Oh.
So the fact that they didn't notice it before is kind of their thing.
Can we talk about the bigger question of why Vermont has 3 Chewbacca-looking creatures on their state logo?
What?
Those 3 Chewbacca-looking things, what are they?
The Chewbacca-looking things?
Go,
hold on.
Go back, Nate. Now I got to know what he's talking about. Oh, what are they?
Yeah, thank you. They're 3 Chewbacca-looking things.
They're Ewoks.
Not,
they're
I
not
know. They're Ewoks. That's what I mean. They're not real. What the fuck is... How? Like, when I saw that story, I'm like, why are they not
Nate,
reporting
what
about
are
those?
I honestly don't know what
they're
those are.
They're not real animals. They're mythical creatures.
They're little Ewoks.
Well, I don't think those are animals. I think... You know what those...
They have faces.
I don't know that they have faces. Let me... Hold on here. Let me look this up.
I am amazed. They're
right?
adorable. They're like 3 little Ewoks.
Why the hell aren't they selling stuffed versions of those? Like, come to Vermont.
Nate, you should know what those are.
Well,
you're
you
supposed
know,
to know everything.
Sorry, I didn't really get into what the Vermont state logo.
Didn't you
means.
Learn that in 4th grade? We learned the Ohio state logo in 4th grade in Ohio history class.
Don't know. Maybe go into Ohio. I'll smack a bitch because I will. I will, motherfuckers.
How about we have a fight? Ohio versus Vermont will win.
Yeah.
O-H.
I-O.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you know what else would win because they're on our side? Maine. Maine is on our side because we're all New England states. Just saying.
What would all the white people do? They'd put on their L.L. Bean boots and come out to a shindig.
Awesome. No, they'd do awesome. This.
I don't necessarily need to be here for this. I'm gonna keep the headphones up.
Motherfucker, I'm awesome. No, you're not, dude. Don't lie. I'm awesome. I'm driving around in my mom's ride. I'm awesome. A quarter of my life gone by, and I met all my friends online. Motherfucker, I'm awesome.
Yeah, take that, Ohio. I'm awesome. You flat in the middle. I can't afford to buy 8 balls, and I talk bitches. To on my
Facebook. That's the best comeback you have.
That was pretty amazing.
Sorry.
You just proved our point of why Ohio's super great.
Okay, Ohio is not super great on any stretch of the imagination.
At
sorry.
Least we don't have make-believe characters on our state seal.
No.
And we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and 2 giant amusement
parks.
Oh,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the biggest fucking ripoff in the universe. You know what else you have? You have Jesus billboards and porn billboards. Porn at every exit next to a fireworks shop and a bunch of people who hate Jesus. You have a city where you can't buy Hustler because everybody's uptight. And you border Kentucky just so you'll look better, yo.
Oh, my.
Oh, you went there. I went there. Awesome.
The things you just named are equivalent to how many people live in the state of Vermont.
Doesn't matter. Because we're awesome.
There's probably high schools in Ohio that have the popular.
Motherfucker, I'm awesome. I will run away.
I'll take a little...
This song doesn't have anything to do with Vermont.
No, it's a guy from Maine. He's giving a hand, because we're all New England, yo. That's right.
So now you're claiming a region.
Awesome.
swagger of a cripple.
All right.
Have you figured out what the Ewoks are yet?
No.
I know. See, it's not as easy as you'd think.
I mean, what other animals are is Vermont known
for? Well, those may not be animals, though.
What do you think they are? Bushes? Faces.
Those could be haystacks. Honestly, they could be haystacks.
Can we look at them again?
I think some they are haystacks.
Yeah, I think
but
that.
The one, they had eyes.
Well, they also had a pig glanced into. You got to remember, that was a digitally manipulated thing by the prisoners.
I want to see the real seal.
There's like a whole bunch of different ones.
Yeah, we can't. You're off mic. We can't hear you. Anyway.
There's a whole bunch of different ones. It's really confusing.
Right, I know. So that's how it goes.
Vermont, the Ewok state.
All right. Well, you know what time it is, Mel.
It's small town news.
It is time for small town news and small town news.
You know, I miss the days where I did it, the theme song.
I know. It's brought to us by our friends at Huge Entertainment.
H-U-G, huge.
Whether you're getting married, having a party, or doing some karaoke, or whatever you want for like your musical or entertainment needs, check out Huge Entertainment. You can get a link to them from our website, natedarlingshow.com.
And tell them Nate Darling sent you.
Yeah, you can do that. They'll know. All right, small town news also coming from Vermont. This comes from Morgan, Vermont, which has no people in it, but it does have a pond.
Oh, wow.
There was a light snow in the 15-degree air, and the ice was an acceptable thickness of 11 to 13 inches for the Lake Seymour Ice Fishing Derby. Now, according to the Derby Fire Department sponsors of the event, there were 122 registered fishermen and 17 youth anglers participating.
Okay, my favorite part so far is that it was a fishing derby in Derby.
Well, it's not. It's in Morgan. But, yeah, the Derby Fire Department serves Morgan because Morgan's too small to have a fire department.
So it's a fishing derby in Derby.
It's an ice fishing derby, baby. In the picture is John Hinton of Derby, who's showing off his 4.6-pound salmon that he caught on Saturday. I love the smile on his face. Is that, could there be a happier-looking dude in the universe than him?
And he nailed that shit.
He did. Right out of the hole in the ice.
That's right.
And the reason that it's small town, it's a full article about the light, fluffy snow reducing visibility. As to a quarter of a mile, as the silhouettes of fishing shacks and fishermen were spotted across the small lake. Trucks, cars, and recreational snow vehicles were parked outside throughout the perimeter of the lake and into the center, indicating interest in the yearly contest that had seen better years in the past, but was maintained by the Derby Fire Department, demonstrating an ongoing interest in preserving the event.
I think I got something in my eye.
Now, Pete Bronson sat comfortably in his well-outfitted fishing shack with a flag flying indicating he was a vet. Pete, who's a Morgan resident, loves the sport and enjoyed participating, not really caring whether he caught a fish or not. And that's really what it's all about, guys.
Aww.
Not really caring. But I like the headline, Village of Shacks crops up at Fishing Derby.
Wow, because that is the most important thing about the article. The shacks.
Well, you know, if you're going to go ice fishing, you want a shack because it's effing cold.
Did the population like quadruple in Morgan that day?
You know, it's entirely possible. It is in fact a very, very small town.
Well, I'm glad the Derby with Derby people was good.
How do politicians run for office in Vermont? Because usually politicians always talk about crime. What do they talk about in Vermont?
Maple syrup.
The cheddar cheese is not looking good this year. I will make better cheddar cheese.
Well, they normally talk about like important issues like the economy and getting roads built and things
fishing
like that.
Fishing derbies.
Isn't there one highway in Vermont?
How dare you?
Isn't there?
There's multiple highways in Vermont. There's two interstate highways in Vermont.
There you go, two.
If that's what you're talking about, interstate highways.
Oh, two interstates.
There's a bunch of U.S. routes that go through Vermont. But if you're talking about interstate highways, if you're talking about the Eisenhower interstate system.
Yeah.
But you know what? Unlike Ohio, there were plenty of roads in Vermont beforehand. And because there's mountains there, you can't just build a road wherever you like and be willy-nilly about it. You got to cut through parts of mountains and stuff.
We're not quite as flat as I think you think we are.
No, I think you're flat. I'm just saying. Like, one of those girls that get made fun of in junior high because they haven't developed yet. That's what I think of when I think of Ohio. That and fireworks and porn and angry
people.
I like fireworks and porn, so I don't take that as an insult at all.
The national pastime, the Ohio pastimes of historical record are porn, church, and fireworks.
Oh, well. Let's read some porn and let us
freaking men to that.
Fuck yeah. Let's watch some porn and throw some fireworks in the
air.
You know what? I think this has been a little
slice
of heaven.
Besides, Ohio and Nevada are not the same state. but fireworks what? And porn.
Oh, fair. Yeah, it's weird. Hey, before we go, I need to know this. Have you ever wanted to hear what Roxette's The Look would sound like if it was done sort of by a metal band? Too late. I just found this before the show and I had to share.
Yes?
It's by a band called Swedish Hits Goes Metal.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to play the whole thing. I lied. I am going to play the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
It's like rock polka mix.
It sounds like a song that should have been on one of those teen movies from the 80s.
Very.
Like, you know, where the girl becomes a boy, or like a Brat Pack movie during the prom scene.
I like the fact that he says she's a juvenile.
They don't have J.
Well, they do. They just pronounce it differently than we do. Hey, you know what? That's going to do it for the show this week, guys. That's been a lot of fun. I know Mel's excited to go because she's had enough abuse.
Yeah.
Although she's rocking out. Hey, today's show is brought to you by the Nate Darling Show store at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show.
Buy a shirt, suckas.
Yeah, do it. Support the show. You know you want to. If you're interested in advertising on the Nate Darling Show, drop us a line, NateDarlingShow@Rocketmail.com. If you got a question, comment, or whatever, that's where you do it. That's how we roll here. Anyway, for my friend Larry.
Bye, everybody. Dos vidanya.
And my friend Mel.
See ya.
I am Nate. We'll see you next week.